It wasn't really intentional to have this worship series on creation overlap with several special days in our church calendar, but when we got to planning it and mapping out the themes, it became obvious that there was a seamless connection between three other special Sundays that circle around every fall and this sustained focus on creation. Partly because creation, as a theological theme, is one of the most expansive and central to our understanding of God. There's very little that we can talk about as people of faith that doesn't in some way circle back to creation theology. And it makes sense because our very identity and vocation as human beings was set out for us in the creation narrative. No surprise, for instance, that we used World Communion Sunday, the first Sunday in October, to reflect on the role that nations of the world play in God's relationship to the created earth and its peoples. And no surprise either that our annual fall focus on stewardship a few weeks from now will tie into creation theology, since God invited us in Genesis 2 to be stewards of the whole cosmos. And no surprise that All Saints Sunday today, a beloved annual remembrance of those who have died, will also be enriched by holding it alongside our celebration of creation. And our celebration of creation will be enriched by holding it alongside our remembrance of the dead. As followers of Jesus and as worshipers of the exalted and risen Christ, we all know that resurrection is a major theological theme. But resurrection is not something that's easy and straightforward to grab hold of or make perfect sense of or to fit nicely into an airtight philosophical framework, especially in our modern rationalistic and scientific age. Theologians and Bible scholars have been arguing over the nuances of resurrection since the beginning. Even Jesus got into an argument with the different religious parties of his day. It's challenging, but it will not do to dismiss it. It is absolutely central to Christian theology, and I would argue absolutely essential to the practice of Christian discipleship, of following Jesus. We must do the work of finding a way to incorporate resurrection into our own faith framework. Without resurrection, it's more than a stretch to identify ourselves as part of the Jesus movement. Okay, so what exactly am I asking us to affirm? Or how does this connect with creation? I won't stand here and tell you exactly how to articulate a theology of resurrection that qualifies you to call yourself Christian. That's between you and God. But I will tell you what I think a sound and fruitful and biblical metaphor would be to use to begin to grasp the good news of resurrection and embrace it. That metaphor is in creation. Scriptures themselves turn to creation for help in this. They don't get all up in the air philosophical about it. They get down in the dirt. They talk about soil and seeds, about decay and renewal. Jesus himself addressed the issue with this metaphor. Leading up to chapter 12 in the Gospel of John, there was this growing unrest that was swirling around Jesus, and it apparently centered on the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus' friend who died and who Jesus resurrected. This event, whatever it happened to be, catalyzed some strong reactions. It strengthened the love and adoration of the crowds for Jesus, and it intensified the resistance of the religious leaders against Jesus. So as the pressure was mounting and things were getting more and more dangerous for Jesus, he started talking to his disciples about his own impending death and resurrection. He said, in the text that we read this morning, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Of course, we know biology today a little better than the writer of John's Gospel. We know a seed doesn't literally die in order to sprout. There's always life in that seed. But that dormant life needs a specific set of conditions in order to enter into a new and modified form of life. One that will start to expand and push up through the soil and grow into a fruitful plant and produce more seeds like itself. That was Jesus' metaphor to explain resurrection, an ever-transforming, ever-changing, and growing, and fruit-bearing kind of life. And quite some years later, the Apostle Paul, in the prime of his mission ministry journeys, wrote a letter to the church at Corinth because they had sent him a letter asking him about this mystery of the resurrection. They didn't know how it worked. They said, according to Paul's quoting of that letter in chapter 15, verse 35, they asked Paul, "How are the dead raised? With what kind of body?" Sounds like same sort of conversations that Christians have been having ever since. So Paul wrote back saying, essentially, "Don't be stupid." Actually, it was a little more harsh than that. The new RSV has him saying, "Fool." I think what he was saying is, "You're asking the wrong question. Don't worry about the how of it. Just look to creation. You'll see it everywhere. You'll discover that life and life eternal is woven by God into creation itself." Here's what Paul said, words that we heard a few minutes ago from 1 Corinthians 15. "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as God has determined. And to each kind of seed, God gives its own body." By design, creation has a built-in cycle of death and life. When we sow, that is, when we take a risk and go all in with God, life will come from death, which ends a life that came from death, which ended a life that came from death, and on and on and on. The life that emerges after a death is a different sort of life. Don't expect endless continuation of the same. Expect transformation. Expect new creation. "So it will be," Paul says, "with the resurrection of the dead. Not the same, but something new. A body that is sown perishable, but is raised imperishable. Two different things. As different as a cold, hard, brown, lumpy iris tuber is from its slender and tender green iris stalk and its delicate and breathlessly beautiful iris flower. Same life, different form. Now, does that answer the whole mystery? Of course not. That's not our task, to explain away the mystery. It is our task to embrace the life that is and the life that will yet be, a life that is beyond our ability to imagine. Those of us who live by this mystery lose no sleep over our inability to explain it. Rather, we just go back out and keep planting. We trust God to be about bringing forth life, always. That's God's way. Not always in the way we expect, and even not always in the way God wants to see life unfold. Unjust death and premature death still happen. And God laments that as much as we do. But the trajectory of the God of creation is always toward life, always toward resurrection, always toward new creation. So we keep going out. We keep digging holes in the earth. We keep dropping in seeds and bulbs. And we keep covering them with dirt. And we keep waiting, hoping that life will one day show up again. And usually it does. And sometimes its beauty takes our breath away. That is how creation works. That's how God works. One of the things that we do here at Parkview to, as we live with this mystery, as we wait, is to remember. We bring the names to mind of those who have died while associated with Parkview Mennonite Church. Those who have died since last All Saints Day are pictured here on the front table, and their names will be read aloud. All those who died since our beginning as a congregation are listed in the bulletin insert by year. Some of these died too soon, or under circumstances that cannot be considered just or right. And some died beautifully and in what seemed to be a good season. No matter how or when the death came, the trajectory of creation, the arc of God's activity in history is the same. It is toward life. It is toward beauty. It is toward wholeness. It is toward new creation. We also remember all these persons by preserving a photograph and life, a brief life story in our memory books, and those are out on a table in the foyer today and next week, and then eventually in the library, and you can browse through them. We're now up to 4 large volumes. For the 9 persons who have died since last All Saints Day, we will read those names aloud now, and I call your attention to to the order of worship. As I read each name, you will hear the ringing of a chime, and then we will read a short scripture verse with Paula reading the words in light print and you responding with the words in bold. So let us remember with thanksgiving sisters and brothers whom we have entrusted to God from this congregation who now rest from their labors.